Take your Bible tonight and turn to the book of Mark. We're in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. We are continuing to study the life of Jesus, his words and his works in this gospel. And we come to chapter 8 and another one of his miracles. And this is the feeding of the 4,000. And just as he did with the feeding of the 5,000, he is teaching those that are closest to him. He's teaching his disciples in addition to showing his great power, his great miraculous power. Mark chapter 8, and we'll look at verses 1 through 21. So let's begin by reading those. Follow along as I read, beginning in verse 1, Mark 8, 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And when his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and gave thanks, and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed, and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, Why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragment took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, How is it that ye do not understand? Maybe you heard about the man who is always worrying. He worried about his job, his health, his kids, his wife, and he was worrying all the time. But one day his friend saw him, and he noticed that he was rather calm. He wasn't worrying at all. And the man said, you know, what happened? And the worry wart said to the guy, well, you know, I hired somebody to worry for me. And he said, You hired somebody to worry for you? Well, how much are you paying him? And he said, Well, I'm paying him $1,000 a day. $1,000 a day? Where are you going to get $1,000 a day? And the man said, I don't know. That's his worry. That's kind of ridiculous, but there's a sense in which we do need to give our worries to somebody else to worry about. And we don't even have to pay him $1,000 a day to take our worries. But our tendency as human beings is to hold on to our worries and hold on to our concerns and fret about them. And one common area of worry for us is the area of material provision. Whether it's our money, our food, our job, This is an area that often worries us, but this is an area that Jesus can take care of. And I think here again in this passage, this account of the feeding of the 4,000, Jesus teaches his disciples and he teaches us as Christians, as believers, that we need to rely on him to take care of our material provision. We must rely on Jesus for our material provision. You say, well, that's a simple statement. How do we know we're supposed to do that? Well, I think this passage shows us some reasons why we should rely on Jesus for our material provision, why we should give him our concerns, give him the worries that we have about our jobs, about our health, about our finances. We see some reasons why we should do that. And beginning in the first three verses, we see the first reason, and that is that we should rely on Jesus for material provision simply because he is concerned. Because he is concerned about your material needs. He's concerned about it. Notice verse 1, Jesus wants his disciples to see the concern that he has for this multitude. It says that in verse 1, he called his disciples unto him. He wants them to see this. He wants his closest followers to see the concern that he has for the material needs of people. He wants to point that out to them. And then he says to them in verse 2, I have compassion on the multitude. And he tells us why he has compassion. In verse 2, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. So we know that Jesus understands what their material need was. He knew that they had nothing to eat. He wanted his disciples to see that. They have no food. And in verse 3, he recognizes that if he sends them home, they're not going to make it. They haven't had food for a while. So he knows that. He knows that they have needs. He knows that they have material needs. He wants his disciples to see, okay, disciples, come over here. I have compassion on the multitude because they have no food, because they will faint. He wants us to see that he has that compassion. I don't know if any of you have ever had the experience, maybe at a doctor's office, of waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then you find out that, oh, we didn't even know you were here. That's pretty frustrating when you wait for that long and someone does not even know. But that's never going to happen with Jesus. Because Jesus knows your needs. And not just that, he is concerned for your material needs. He certainly is. He's concerned for the material needs of this multitude, this people who were not even following him very closely, but he has concern for them. And certainly he has concern for our material needs today. And just as he wanted to do something about it, he wants to do something about it today. That's what his compassion leads him to do. It leads him to act. When Jesus has compassion, he does something. It's not just a feeling that he has. He does something. And when we see that about Jesus, that should cause us to rely on him for our material provision, whatever it is, because he's concerned. He's concerned for your material needs. And we see another reason in verses 4 through 9, and that is because he has the power to provide for your material needs. And that's surely the greatest of all reasons. Jesus has the power to provide for any material need. So why would we look to anything else? Why would we worry about the source of our provision? Jesus has the power. And he displays that power. And he does that for a certain reason. He does that to show his identity. He is trying to make a point here about who he is. Only Jesus can do this, and Jesus can only do this because he's God. because he has the divine power to miraculously provide. So he displays his power, and he does that by providing with meager resources. He provides with meager resources. There's hardly anything at all to feed this multitude of 4,000. Notice in verse 5, the disciples say they only have 7 loaves. And then we learn later in verse 7, they just have a few small fishes. And yet he provides enough food to feed a multitude of 4,000. That's a miracle. That's something that only God can do. It's nothing short of a miracle. And it's not just that he provided for these people. He provided abundantly. He provided even more than was necessary. we learn in verse 8, look at verse 8, about the abundance. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. There was an abundance left. You say, well, you know, didn't they take up 12 baskets in the feeding of the 5,000? You know, this is just 7. So, well, you got to understand here that the word for basket is a different word that's used in the previous account. This word for basket refers to a large basket. This is the word that's used in Acts chapter 9, verse 25, to describe the basket that the Apostle Paul was in when he was lowered down over the wall at Damascus. That's the kind of basket that they took up here. This was like a hamper type basket. So maybe there was even more. If they had 7 of those, maybe this was even more abundantly. But it was abundant provision. And the only conclusion that we can make from that is that Jesus has divine power. Only Jesus is able to do that, and he's only able to do that because he is God, and he's displaying that to make a point about who he is. He's God. But it's not just enough to see that miracle. Jesus wants a response to that display of his power. He wants a response to that. We see 2 responses to Jesus' miracle here. First, we have the response of the disciples in verse 4 at the beginning here. We see that they don't still recognize Jesus' power. Look at verse 4. Jesus, of course, told the disciples of his desire to feed these people, and they say, "From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" Again, they fail the test that Jesus gives. They fail to recognize that Jesus is able to do this because of his divine power. All they can think about is the impossibility of it. We're in a wilderness. Where are we going to get enough food to provide for these thousands of people? So they don't recognize Jesus' power. Now they should have. And often we are just like the disciples. We get in a situation where there's nothing we can do, but yet we fail to recognize that Jesus can provide for our material provision. He can give us that material provision. That's the response that he wants us to have. He wants us to rely on him in those times, in those impossible situations. Jesus can do it. Jesus has all power. But then there's another response that we see in verses 10 through 13. Jesus enters another region, and he's confronted with the Pharisees. And we see that they don't accept the evidence that Jesus has already given. Look at verse 11. "The Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him." So they want something more. Jesus has displayed his power to them, to the multitudes, but they say, that's not enough. We want a sign from heaven. They reject the evidence that Jesus has already given. And it's not just that they have rejected that and they want something more. They're not sincere anyway with this request. Okay, look at verse 11. It says that they were tempting him. They were trying to get him to mess up. So they weren't sincere anyway. And that request was very displeasing to Jesus. It says in verse 12 that he sighed deeply in his spirit. He sighed deeply. He was displeased with that request. And he denied their request. They wouldn't accept that the evidence that Jesus already had given. He gave enough evidence for them to recognize who he was, who he is. But they rejected that. So we need to rely upon God for our material provision because he's concerned and because he has the power to provide. But often our tendency is to forget. We forget that we serve an all-powerful God. And he is the creator, the sustainer of the universe. And for him to provide for us is such a small and insignificant thing for him to do, and yet he's concerned about it. He shows his compassion. So what do we need to do when our checking account gets very low, when we are running out of money, when we see the stock market fail and we lose money in that way? We need to rely on Jesus. Rely on Jesus for our material provision. But the greater danger for us is that we would let our concern for material provision crowd out our recognition of who Jesus is and lead us to be like the Pharisees and reject him. That's a danger that we face as well. We don't want to be like the Pharisees and reject his power. Accept this testimony. This is very clear testimony of who Jesus is. And we need to accept that. Accept the testimony of who he is. He's God. And rely on him alone. So rely on Jesus for your material provision because he's concerned, because he has all power. And then in verses 14 through 21, we see another reason why we should rely on him. And that is because he has important lessons for you to learn. We need to rely on him for material provision because he has important lessons for you to learn. We see Jesus here warning the disciples about the Pharisees. He warns them of the leaven of the Pharisees in verse 15 and of the leaven of Herod. And we know from the scriptures that leaven is a symbol of evil or corruption. And just like leaven is something that works invisibly almost, and it's pervasive, the leaven works all throughout that bread. And that's like what the danger of the Pharisees was. That's like what the danger of Herod was. And I think what Jesus is referring to here is their rejection of the evidence that Jesus had given, indicated by their desire for a sign. This is what the Pharisees had just done. They showed that they rejected Jesus because they wanted something more. They didn't accept what he had already given. And that's something that Herod did too. When Jesus comes face to face with Herod before his crucifixion, what does Herod want? He wants a miracle. He wants a sign from Jesus. He too doesn't accept the evidence that Jesus has already given. And so when Jesus is warning of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, he's warning us to make sure that we accept what Jesus has shown us. Don't reject that. That's very clear evidence. So that's a lesson that he has for us to learn. And I think that failure to rely on Jesus for provision puts us in danger of rejecting him. Failure to rely on Jesus for provision puts us in danger of rejecting him. And then another danger is failure to rely on Jesus for provision distorts our spiritual understanding. Notice what the disciples are doing here. When Jesus uses this imagery of leaven, all they're thinking about is what? Food. They're thinking about the fact that they didn't bring enough food. They just have one loaf, it says in verse 14. And they reason among themselves, verse 16, saying, it is because we have no bread. And Jesus rebukes them for that. And he indicates that their concern for material provision distracted them from understanding the lesson that he was giving. It distracted them from understanding Jesus' warning. And notice in verses 17 and 18, he probes them. He probes their hearts with these questions. He wants them to see that their hearts are hard. He says, "Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? Do ye not remember?" So he's trying to show them that they're being really dense here. Their concern, all they can think about is bread. We don't have bread. And Jesus is trying to teach them, and he's showing them, hey, you are distracted. You are not getting it because of your concern for material provision. And then he questions them to help them remember. In verses 19 and 20, he takes them back to the feeding of the 5,000. How many baskets did you take up? 12? Remember the feeding of the 4,000? How many did you take up? 7? All right, do you understand now? They should not have been concerned because he had already demonstrated that he's the source of material provision. Jesus can provide. And so they didn't need to be concerned. And it was distracting them from the lessons that Jesus was trying to teach them, the important lessons. You probably know that one of the most dangerous things you can do in your car is text or even talk on the phone. It does present a danger. According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, in 2010, there were 3,092 people who were killed in crashes that involved a distracted driver, and over 400,000 people were injured in just 2010 because of distracted driving, people on cell phones or texting. The Department of Transportation says that text messaging creates a crash risk 23 times worse than driving while not distracted. And they say that sending or receiving a text takes a driver's eyes from the road for an average of 4.6 seconds, the equivalent at 55 miles per hour of driving, the length of an entire football field blind. All right, so if you're going to text and drive, you might as well just close your eyes while you do that. But there's another distraction that is just as dangerous as driving while texting. And that is concern for material provision. And why is that? It's because it distracts us from the lessons that Jesus has for us. It distracted the disciples. They did not get this important warning that Jesus was giving about the Pharisees and about Herod. All they can think about is material provision. And they didn't get the lesson. So we need to rely on Jesus for our material provision because he has important lessons for us to learn. So let me ask you, is concern for material provision distracting you from lessons that God has for you to learn? I don't know what it might be. Maybe it's a pressure to work extra hours that takes you away from assembling with God's people that where you might be reminded of some of those important lessons. Or maybe it's just your mind being occupied with that concern all the time that you fail to read God's Word. You fail to get those important lessons that God has for you. That's being distracted. Concern for material provision can distract you. But don't let it distract you from what God is trying to teach you. Rely on Jesus for your material provision. He's concerned about you. He is. He has compassion on the multitude. Above all, he has power. He has all power to provide for you at his disposal. And we need to rely upon him so that we are not distracted from the lessons that he has for us to learn. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to rely upon you during our times of need. We all face these times of concern, of worry. But, oh Lord, you have shown us that you are all-powerful, and we have no reason to be concerned. So, Father, we pray that you would help us to rely upon you for our material provision. We pray that you would help us to honor you in this way. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.